Episode 11. How you living, Spencer?
Great. How are you living?
Fantastic. Is there any other way?
How's the weather treating you?
Great. The shovel's been working overtime lately, but it's okay. I'll take it. Feels like the UP around here, eh? With all this snow.
So, Chris, it looks like you've been thinking about how we do experimentation, feature rollouts, how we kind of use toggles. Do you kind of want to share what you've been thinking about lately and kind of what we currently have with our toggles, experimentation, features, and things in that realm?
Yeah, definitely. So we've been using LaunchDarkly for a long time to add feature and experiment toggles to control, you know, feature rollouts and run experiments. And it's been a huge help for us. Like, we used to maintain toggles. We relied on a couple different gems. We relied on, you know, database tables for managing feature rollouts. But LaunchDarkly has really been awesome to work with. And the controls that they give us and the SDKs are just really nice. So it's good. We've gotten a long way with what we have, but I think there's a couple pain points around the abstractions that we've built on top of LaunchDarkly. We've also conflated the idea of just a feature toggle and an experiment into the same, just like it's synonymous at Handshake, I guess. And that is actually a pretty important distinction. So I think a lot of the work that we're doing is taking some of the tooling that we have and starting to draw a hard line between the idea of a feature toggle, just to manage a rollout of a feature, and an actual experiment. There's very different concerns for each of those. And if you look at our code, I think that's where a lot of the complexity comes in, because we handle, say, if this is a Boolean toggle, managing a feature rollout and have these defaults and this behavior. But if it's an experiment toggle, then have these defaults. And it's starting to be a little bit, there's a little bit more friction there, that I think, than there needs to be in some of our abstractions. So I think we have two main abstractions, one on the server. So there is a Ruby SDK, but we built a wrapper around that. We also built kind of different clients for, development, production, and test environments that provide, you know, different defaults that are appropriate for each of those environments. And then on the client, we also have a single just toggle component that we've used to, you know, we dump all of our toggle values into Redux. And then we use that to not only control visibility of certain features, but also it handles, you know, impressions of certain things if it's an experiment, and allows you to render different things when for whether a user is in, you know, say, the control group versus the treatment, et cetera. So yeah, I guess that's kind of the state of things now. Do you want to dive into some of the specifics around any of that?
Cool. Yeah, that all makes sense. I guess before we dive into some more of the like details of how all of these pieces work, do you kind of want to walk through at a high level the best practices you think for rolling out features as well as running experiments?
Sure. And you're as qualified to speak to this as me. But yeah, I think, you know, at Handshake, at least, almost everything that we develop is behind a feature toggle. So the first step in any project, the first card that you're going to take and deploy to production, is just generating the feature toggle, and possibly, you know, generating like using like our React component generator to create a component that gets rendered behind this toggle. And then usually like a request level spec saying that when the toggle's enabled, you know, you get this other version, this other variant of the page or whatever it is. And that's given us the ability to move really quickly and these like new feature developments, so we can be rather iterative deploying to production right away. We can enable the toggle for internal users in production right off the bat and allow them to start playing around. We can enable it for everyone on staging, so they're getting these new code paths and start getting some feedback on the feature as we're developing it, which I think is key to us not just not doing waterfall, basically, like having letting people interact with it, click around in it, and getting some feedback along the way while we're developing it.
Cool. Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. What about for experiments? So with the feature rollout, we just kind of, like you were saying, want to have that on or off, and mostly off as we're developing it so that we can iteratively build it out and not have the feature entirely complete and deploy a lot more frequently. But with experimentation, we actually want to either show a new variation or actually just try adding a new feature or maybe even removing a feature. So how do we think about analyzing that experiment as it's kind of being ran using these toggles?
Yeah, so when we think about experiments, there's definitely an element of controlling who sees what on the page. So in some ways it is similar to, or like opting in specific users to certain behavior. So there is an element of like a feature rollout there often. So it's very easy to kind of confuse the two. And if you haven't done a lot of experimentation in the past, I think it's really easy to not think ahead and create, think of things more as like that feature rollout rather than an experiment. And I know I've even generated my fair share of toggles as just kind of Boolean feature rollout toggles when really we should have been thinking about them as experiments and then going in later to set up, the actual experiment and all the tracking code and everything. So I think that the key difference is like technical difference for us is just that an experiment is going to have essentially three groups for the toggle rather than two variants versus. So we have we call it the on group, which would be the treatment, the control we call off, and then the group of users that is often just excluded from the experiment. So those are kind of the three variants that we define in LaunchDarkly. And then on a feature rollout toggle, it's just a true false Boolean. And then we've developed a number of tools around that. So when you generate a toggle in Handshake, you run a Rails generator that creates a configuration file. We have a bunch of tooling that consumes that and does the right thing in development, testing, etc. And then when we actually deploy that or merge that into production, that's when we use Zapier for this, but we automatically create the toggle based on that configuration file with the correct variants. And then once we actually that code actually gets out to staging, it'll actually make a call to LaunchDarkly instead of just kind of looking at the configuration file to figure out what value should be served to users. So another important thing about experiments is that there's always additional information we need to capture to understand the impact of on the treatment and control groups. So I mentioned earlier we had a toggle component. So if the feature actually manifests itself in the user interface, we will always track whether someone sees that component or not. So using that toggle component, like I said, whether someone is in the control group or the treatment group, they are going to get an impression event fired whenever that component would be rendered. And I say would be because often in the treatment group, say we're releasing a new feature, they would get to see the actual component in the UI, and we would send the impression event. But we also send an impression event, even if the component isn't shown, for the control group, just to know how many users would have seen that to understand. So we're doing a proper comparison of people who actually had the same behavior rather than just they were in this certain group in LaunchDarkly or not. The other thing that we track is conversions. So we'll always make sure to send along whether the user was in the treatment or the control group, if there's any conversions that we care about. So, you know, clicking a button, submitting a form, et cetera. And one of the things that we've done is we actually send along, just to make this a lot easier, we actually send along a lot of the experiment values for the current user on almost any conversion. So we can see not just the one experiment that we might be keeping an eye on, but all the other experiments that they might be opted into. And then in analysis, we can see maybe there's some things that, maybe there's a group of users where there's a set of two experiments that are actually producing a certain behavior that we need to be aware of. But yeah, I think that's really important when you have a lot of experiments running at one time.
Yeah, that's awesome. That makes a lot of sense. Another thing I think that isn't as critical to a lot of this analysis, but we also often send this toggle value along to full story to then watch to see how users actually interact with this new feature. Because a lot of times the experimentation is to add a new feature and kind of see how users interact, which I also find pretty useful when we're working on these things. And I think the other thing that you mentioned of having this toggle component for experimentation and it automatically tracking the impressions is really nice because we do this often, so there's a lot less boilerplate code that we have to write and we can just start using it, but also because it's very standardized. So when anybody needs to go and analyze this data, it's generally very predictable. But in the implementation details of that, that's also using a track impression component that we have that you can use in any context. It doesn't have to be in the toggle. So some of the more complex experiments that we run that maybe have more intricate impressions or we want to get really custom data tracking, we can still reach down to some of our more lower level components that we have written to kind of wrap some of this logic for impressions and clicks. And I think you recently made ones that are very specific to cards. So we show a lot of different card results, and that has impression tracking and clicking information that is now consistent across the entire product for anything that's shown in a card-based layout. I don't know, do you have any thoughts to expand on some of those components that we have?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that card tracking example. I think one thing that every team I've talked to about this has struggled with is over time, you track data in so many different ways and analysis needs to be done on a, you know, different from one experiment to the next. And there's a lot of overhead to running these experiments after a while. But if you come up with kind of a system or a framework for capturing and analyzing data, I think it will pay huge dividends over time. And a lot of the work that we're thinking about going forward is to make it easier to do the right thing and speed up data capture, make that more consistent, but also make our lives easier on the analysis side. So these card tracking components that you mentioned, to get a little bit more technical here, we have like a track kind of namespace in our components that we import. So, and then on that we have like track dot impression, track dot click, and then we have track dot card impression and track card dot click, or track dot card click as well. And the reason we have those two new card specific components is so that we could define better interfaces basically on what the props should be for those components. So if you're going to use one of those and anytime you render a card in our application, it should also have a tracking element to it. You have to pass in these values or types, you're going to get compilation errors. TypeScript's going to tell you I need additional information so I can track the correct impression events or the correct click events. Just to know, you know, some examples are like, what's the ID of this item? What's the type? You know, is this a job, an employer, et cetera? What order is this item in the list? What's the context of this item on the page? So even though it's a job card, we render jobs on some pages, you know, in three different places inside cards. So we need to know which list is that actually being shown in. And all that information, just being consistent about capturing that has, I think, made the lives a lot easier of our analysts. But I think that's just probably the first of many things we're going to be doing in that area. Cards is a very specific example, but really, you know, almost any impression or conversion event, we could probably be a little bit more strict about which what properties we should be sending along. And we'll probably end up making some more of these kind of more specialized, specific components for tracking in the future. One other thing I wanted to mention is, so we use Segment for capturing this data. So all of our components, you know, track that impression. The two key things that it does, ultimately it makes a call using like the Segment JavaScript SDK to capture an event. And it just kind of has accepts a handful of properties, and then it has a hard coded in the event name of, you know, experiment impression or something like that. But the other thing is that it will not capture the event until the elements actually comes into view in the viewport. So we have some kind of like visibility sensor within that, knowing that like this card was actually seen by the user before it actually sends up that tracking event. But using Segment, that's been a huge help for us, just to like, we can capture that data, and then within Segment, we can pipe it wherever we want. I would encourage people to check out that tool if they haven't heard of it before, but just segment.io. But something cool that they're working on is this idea of protocols, and that allows you to basically define the schema for the events you want to capture within Segment. And then you can get information back, you know, in your JavaScript console saying like, hey, you're sending data that is in an unexpected format or has properties that we didn't expect to be here, or you sent a number when it should have been a string, all those sorts of things. So that really tightens the feedback loop versus, you know, you get deploy something to production and then the analyst goes in and finds some of those problems. That's the way we've discovered a lot of our issues with tracking in the past. But they also actually have some library that I think is called Typewriter or something that will actually generate TypeScript interfaces for the definitions that you define in Segment. They call them protocols. And then you can use those interfaces in, you know, our tracking components. So we could get compile time feedback about whether we are sending the correct information to for tracking. So the data team can define the protocol for an experiment. We generate the interface. We set up, you know, a component or whatever to use that interface and handle all of the tracking stuff. And then we can have that immediate feedback of whether we're sending the correct information along. So that's something that I'm kind of excited about, that we're hoping to like move a lot more towards that and just really tighten that feedback loop around, you know, did I set this experiment up correctly?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think anytime we can start to push some of these constraints to compile time with TypeScript and enforcing those is great. And it's pretty cool that we can start to do that. Yeah, I think you kind of mentioned that all of our impression and conversion or clicks are kind of prefixed or called like experiment impression or like experiment click or conversion or these kind of standardized set of names. I know when we first started tracking, every single like experiment or click or whatever it was had a custom event name. So you just had like this flood of all of these different types of events and nobody really knew what was going on. But now with these experiment impression events, they're all standardized, like you said, and it would be awesome if we can actually enforce that both in Segment, but also at compile time with a auto-generated TypeScript definition for that interface. And then kind of related to something you mentioned earlier. So today our setup for getting toggles to the client, because the majority of things we do experiments with are some like visual treatment. Sometimes we need to do it server-side too, but a lot of that happens on the client. And today we kind of achieve that by passing all of our toggle values that we need to the client and then putting those into Redux under a specific toggles key. And then our toggle component can read that toggle value that you need from Redux. And I think you've started talking about maybe avoiding this call to passing it to the client on page load. So would you mind kind of expanding on that, or kind of what you're thinking the future might look like for handling toggles on the client?
Yeah, and like you said, that there's an extra step there of just getting the toggle into the client, kind of dumping that value out. And the main thing right now, we're just not using this JavaScript SDK that LaunchDarkly has for grabbing all of the toggle values. I think there were some reservations at first because we had to like expose our API key, but I think there's a workaround now, or there's like a safe mode or something that we can do to limit the what people can do with that API key or something. I haven't looked into it a ton yet, but that's definitely one step in the right direction for us. And I think ultimately those values still might land in Redux. There's a couple libraries out there that you just kind of configure your LaunchDarkly SDK and it'll dump those values into Redux for you. So I think we might lean on something like that. But yeah, I think just going forward, that's going to make our lives a lot easier. Just having those just more real time. We still need to figure out, like I mentioned earlier, we generate a configuration file and we kind of just use that in development. We don't actually hit LaunchDarkly. And often when you're working on a feature early on, the toggle isn't even created yet until you've deployed that configuration file. And then you just rely on this this integration to automatically create that for you. So we'll need to figure out a workaround for that, and I'm not quite sure how to do that. With kind of the LaunchDarkly kind of test mode, or like development mode. I'm not sure what we have available there, but yeah, that's I guess that's the direction we're moving forward. But still, I have a little bit of uncertainty about how that's actually gonna play out.
Exciting! Looking forward to all of those improvements.
Yeah, I think just tracking in general, it's one of those things that engineers have to do and have to be proficient at, but it's often not seen as part of the real work, so I guess first, I don't think that's the right mindset to have, but I understand why people feel that way. Like, you go into a project thinking, I'm going to build cool feature X, and tracking is often an afterthought. So I don't think that should necessarily be the case. I think it's really important to capture the metrics that you care about and define those very clearly up front, and even think about tracking from the very beginning. Like, what's our strategy for, like, why not think about, developing components for tracking, like we mentioned, as part of the development process for the entire feature. Like, we have those generic components, but for capturing impressions and clicks, and maybe that's enough to get you by. But why not do a little bit of work up front to make your life easier, like defining some of those interfaces that you could use for the specific experiment and get that compile time feedback to know that you are implementing things correctly from the start and not waiting until you actually start enabling it for users in production. Just trying to tighten that feedback loop as much as you can. And you don't need to rely on segment protocols or whatever for that. I think just a shift in mindset can go a long way.
Yeah, and kind of on that theme, I think something that often is easy to overlook is, after you've created these toggles, you've started to run the experiment, you've done the analysis, you've either decided that like this is something we want to roll out to 100%, 0%, or kind of figured out what the future of that feature is going to be and we no longer need these toggles. I think it's sometimes easy to overlook or entirely kind of forget about the need to go back and clean these toggles up. So do you have any thoughts around that and kind of how to maintain toggles, making sure you don't have a large amount of those, or just any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it comes back to the mindset shift again. If you're thinking about implementing tracking effectively across the board, and that's just part of the work that you do. It's not like an afterthought or this thing, like this necessary evil. It's actually just like part of being a good engineer and shipping software effectively. I think you just kind of naturally, you know, it's part of the planning process up front. You get a clear definition of success. You work with the data team or whatever your stakeholders are to say, like, these are the metrics that we care about. We expect these things to happen. We also want to keep an eye on these health metrics, make sure we don't have a negative impact on any of these, but we don't anticipate that they'll change. You know, that's kind of the work up front. And then it also, hopefully, you're thinking about, and while you're planning out the work, you're accounting for the fact that, you know, we need to spend time after this is all done cleaning up, you know, old code paths and all of the tracking code after all this goes out. And I know that's something that we have all struggled with. I think last quarter we deleted, I don't know how many toggles, but I mean, there was a lot of red in commit diffs near the end of last year because there was just so many toggles that we had to go back and clean up and pay down some of the technical debt. But I think, you know, going forward, like, everyone on the team is aware, data, product, engineering, and we're all working together to just try to make sure that, you know, we're thinking about this from the start and the project isn't complete until the feature is rolled to 100% and cleaned up.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's definitely important to think about how we can continue cleaning up those toggles and making sure we kind of have a minimum number of toggles around that we actually need. So did you have any other thoughts on experimentation, feature rollouts, tracking, anything in that realm?
Not really. I would love to hear what other people are doing. I think, you know, everyone is trying to figure out how to do this effectively. A lot of big companies have built their own frameworks and tools around this. And I'm sure we have a lot to learn in this area yet. So would love to hear from anyone who has experience that they'd like to share. Maybe we could even do another episode on this if we find someone who is willing to share about some of the things that they've done, and they're, you know, kind of different from our setup.
Yeah, it would be awesome to have somebody on here. So if you're interested in talking about this, definitely email us. Or if you know somebody that would be interested in this or has a lot of knowledge in the space, definitely let us know about them.
And how do people email us, Spencer?
host@rubberducking.fm.
Awesome. Show notes and all that jazz, rubberducking.fm/11, correct?
Yep, I believe it is episode 11.
All constructive feedback is welcome in private via email. Otherwise, you know, if you're enjoying the show, we'd love a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.